Welcome back, Victorians. You're listening to The Strandcast, a student-run podcast in companion with The Strand newspaper at Victoria College, where two sleep-deprived and slightly clueless UT students discuss fake news and pop culture while exploring student connection, hardships, and renewal. I'm Carol Eugene Park, the podcast editor.
And my name is Semi Wong, the associate editor. We hope everyone had a restful and productive Thanksgiving, whether you were jumping from back-to-back family dinners or trying to catch up on that one class you haven't even opened the textbook for.
Thank you for joining us for episode 2, titled Confession.
So my name's Maddie Karate. I am a first year in Vic College, and I'm probably going to be majoring in English.
My name is Wilfred Moster. I guess I'm hosting this segment. I'm in third year studying Ethics Society Law. Frosh leader involved in The Strand. Super excited to be part of this podcast. No idea what I'm doing. Take it away, Maddie, I guess.
Okay. I think I'm here to talk about my Frosh experience.
Right.
So basically, like, the first 3 days before class started. It wasn't necessarily the greatest, but I don't credit that to anything necessarily about Frosh in general. I think it was just, I'm a commuter student, just to make that clear. Right. So I think it was a little weird. It took a bit of adjusting, to be honest with you.
Yeah, were you staying on residence during the week?
No. So it was really like going back and forth. And it was oddly isolating to not kind of be on residence in those days or at all. But I got through it.
What were your favorite activities during the week?
To be honest with you, I really enjoyed the club fair that took place here in the Goldring Student Center. I think that was the day, because that was on the Wednesday. That was probably the day where I kind of came in. And I think it was the most fun to me, but also the most kind of useful, because I came in and I kind of found like those things like The Strand. I'm actually looking into The Strand. And it kind of finally gave me that moment of like, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. And like, I think a huge problem for me anyway, I don't know if any other like commuter Frosh or on res Frosh kind of identified with this, but like I was having trouble kind of connecting with anything. So something that was kind of like what I wanted to be doing for the next 4 years. And I think the club fair was definitely something that, you know, I started talking to like heads of clubs and leaders. It kind of gave me that reassurance that I was going to find little places to like put myself in. So
yeah, I think clubs have been my favorite part of my university life so far, like involved with VCDS, the Drama Society, involved with The Strand, primarily. So what other clubs have you been interested in?
Other than The Strand, I think I've just been kind of looking at, there's like Active Victoriana, which I might kind of submit work to. I've just been looking at like literary journals because I want to be a writer. So all those things kind of stuck out to me the most. To be honest with you, I'm like terrified, and I've always been terrified, but I do eventually kind of want to look into like the improv clubs. I think those are really cool.
And yeah, maybe, did you audition for the Bob?
No, I'm terrified. I really, it's always one of those things where I kind of, every year of my life that I've had the opportunity to like audition for something like that, I just get terrified, but I have to. I know I have to.
No, I completely feel you. Yeah, I chickened out of auditioning this year, but I mean, you should go see the show, first of all, February, I think it is.
Okay.
I'm going to plug the Bob. Super fun. Leo's an amazing director. And next year, I'd highly recommend giving it a shot, because it's one of my favorite events all year.
Wow. Honestly, yeah. Like, because I saw all the posters in, like, I think the cafe and stuff, and it looked funny. So I'm really excited, like, to go watch it and hopefully audition eventually.
What are your favorite spots on campus? Have you had a chance to enjoy the college during the year?
I really, really like Vic, like, a lot. Just, like, the environment of the people and the campus itself is so nice. It's, like, all together. Everything's kind of... I really love Caffeines.
I was going to say the same thing.
I love Caffeines. I'm volunteering at Caffeines, actually. But it's adorable. And I think it's... I just remember when I came for, like, a Vic orientation, like, last year when I was in my grade 12 year, it was like my mom and I just found it and we got a coffee while we were waiting. And I remember thinking, oh, this is like adorable. And I didn't even know that like people could volunteer. And then I got here and there were so many opportunities to get involved with the cafe. And yeah, so I really like just spending time there. Like, I'll get a coffee and I'll work on stuff. The little benches right outside of Pratt, that little space, that's really cute. And just like cute libraries. Like, I know Trin's Library, Burwash, is that what it's called?
Nope, Burwash is the dining hall.
Oh my god, see, I
talking about Murray Library, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
I don't know anything about it. Like, I'll know it geographically, but in terms of names, I have no idea. Right. But there's a library near Trin, and it's very cute.
I think it's Graham Murray.
Graham, I think. Graham? Yeah, yes.
Oh, man, I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's what it is.
That's terrible. Yeah, I love prep first year. I was in residence, and it was very handy. Mm. Didn't have to go to Robarts either, which not a fan of, to be honest. It's just so big and imposing.
Does it look like
it's
a prison?
It really does.
It feels like
it
a
really
prison.
Does.
Yeah.
I like having fresh air when I study. That's all I'm saying.
No, you know what? That's actually like a thing. It makes sense. Even like the lighting in Robarts.
Exactly.
Everything is very like oppressing.
Yeah. Do you like Pratt?
I do. Pratt's really cute. It's nice because like there's the big there's like the open space with all the tables behind the glass. Right, as soon as you walk in past the, so it does feel like a lot homier than Robarts does. Robarts is like kind of like an industrial library, like an institution. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, my mom spent like 2 years doing her master's there. She absolutely hated it. She'd agree. Yeah. Yeah. Favorite spot in Pratt, I have to say, is like the big window you look out on Burwash Residence. Yeah. What made you want to come to Vic? Is it the tour?
I'm gonna be honest with you. A lot of, like, my mom, I was interested in U of T, and I remember my mom telling me, because my mom came here, my dad came here, and they both kind of went to St. Mike's.
Ah, right.
And my mom was just like, Vic is, like, really good, and it's for arts and sci students, you should try to apply. And she always kind of said,
don't make the same mistake I did.
Kind of. not about St. Mike's, but kind of in the way, like, she kind of wishes she would have applied to Vic. And she was like, please apply, like, just try. If you don't get in, like, you'll get into your second choice. And I did. I remember coming down, like, for the tour. And I'm like a weird believer in, like, signs. And something's telling me,
totally.
I should maybe. We were studying Fry in my class, like, at high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I remember coming up to, like, I didn't go on any, like, official tour, but I came up. And, like, my mom took me around the campus. And I remember seeing the Fry statue. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I get it.
Are you liking the Vic 1 program? Because I was in Pearson in my first
year.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
I honestly really like it so far. I think it's nice to have, like, the same. There's, like, 21 girls or 20 girls and one boy in our class.
Really?
Yeah. That helped me a lot, like, with adjusting. Because it was kind of the same girls twice a week. And that was really nice. And now, like, we're getting closer and closer. So I've made, like, friends with, like, very close friends with, like, a few of them. So that's really nice. And just, like, being able to study in the environment of, like, one-on-one with a professor as opposed to, like, 400 plus. That's really great. And I really like it. And I like what we're talking about. And I like what we're studying for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably going to be hit and miss. But, yeah, Vic 1 was probably the reason why I enjoyed my first year. I made, like, not too many friends in residence. It was pretty much all for Vic 1, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could definitely, when you're in those classes and stuff, you just get to talk to people.
Mm, for sure,
it's
fun. It's like, it's more high school style, I guess, right? Like,
kind of.
The same people 4 or 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
How are you liking the plenaries? To be honest.
I wouldn't say useful, but I would say that, like, they're interesting.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, thank God, like, there's no testing or anything.
Mm.
Because I think that takes away from the experience.
I mean, some profs actually do test, I think. When I was in first year, they would have, like, not quite comprehension, but they would just kind of make you do a little roundup summary of the plenary every week. I don't think people liked it, yeah. Are you going to be majoring in English, you think?
I think I'm going to double major in English and cinema studies.
Cool.
I think, yeah. But for sure, like, English is going to be a major. Yeah, unless something drastically changes in the next year or two. But yeah, I want to be a writer, so.
Yeah. Have you gotten involved with, like, the Cinema Studies Student Association, stuff like that?
I've heard there's a lot of fun. Not yet, but it does, like, we've had, like, some announcements, and they look really fun. And I know they show, like, movies, like, every Friday. And that's awesome.
Those.
But I think I might.
Favorite movie, yeah.
Oh, no. See, I feel like I'm going to answer this question, and everyone's going to be like, she shouldn't be in cinema studies, because I'm going to sound like a fraud.
It.
But that's why I'm taking it, so that I can kind of...
That's fair, yeah.
You know, like, widen my horizon. Exactly. Because I really...
Because
I want to be, like, a screenwriter. And I felt like I really didn't have enough knowledge of film history and stuff and, like, movies in the past for me to really do that. So that's why I'm taking it. But currently, there's a couple on the top of my list. And I like very, like, character-driven... kind of more realistic movies.
The dramas?
Yeah. A rom-com sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the good ones. Like, When Harry Met Sally is, like, one of my favorite movies. And
Fair enough.
I can watch it over and over again.
I often end up watching a lot of those good classic ones on planes. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I find that when I enjoy them on plane, it's like, you know, it's a good movie.
I was gonna say, I'm into like a lot of like superhero movies too.
Oh yeah.
So like Guardians of the Galaxy. Like,
oh those, yeah, two, you cannot look
at it. I know. I feel, how can you not? And like that, and the soundtrack to Guardians of the Galaxy too. Like, those are awesome.
I'm writing for the Guinness Herald actually. I'm doing a movie review column there. And well, we're gonna see Mother, my friend and I.
Oh yeah.
Like next weekend. I'm so scared. I don't want to do this at all.
I've watched a bunch of like reviews and stuff.
I watched the trailer and like turned down the volume. I'm so bad with this. I can't.
The trailer's not even that scary.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I do not like horror movies.
I don't do horror movies. Like, yeah, no, I'm not a fan of horror.
No.
It's like, it's,
I feel like Mother though is more like thriller. So maybe it'll be okay.
Maybe, yeah.
But I've heard it's like disgusting.
I've heard that as well. I'm not especially thrilled to see it. Have you seen The Room? Uh-oh, you need to see that one. It's like, it's called The Citizen Kane of bad movies.
Okay, I've heard of The Room. Like, yeah. I've heard that they play it every so often at a building on campus.
Do they?
I heard, my friend told me that every so often, every couple months or something like that, she heard that it gets played, I don't know if like at Vic, but like on campus, and people just like bring like tomatoes to throw.
Right, yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. But I've heard that this is like a horrendous movie that everybody knows.
It's ridiculous. I had a viewing party in my first year. Like everyone from my Vic 1 class and like all of our friends in residence.
Yeah.
We all just watched it because it's like, it's a great shared experience. It's not really something you can watch alone because you go crazy. Yeah. But I would highly recommend, especially since, so Disaster Artist is like based off the book that the main character's co-star and friend wrote. It's like an expose tell all about the process of making the film and like explaining his friend's life story kind of. And it was a huge bestseller. And like James Franco is playing the title role. His brother is playing the best friend.
Oh, really?
And it seems really good. Yeah, it's gotten great reviews at TIFF.
Oh my gosh. Wow, I actually hadn't heard of that at all. That's awesome.
Yeah, mandatory viewing. Everyone listening as well. The Room is, you gotta watch it.
So is it so bad that it's hilarious?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Those are the best kinds of movies. Yeah. Those are great.
Well, thank you all for listening. I'm Wilfred. This has been...
Oh, I'm Maddie. Thanks again.
And happy listening. Thanks all for tuning in.
So I'm here with Layla Adtree, the fourth floor don of RJ at Victoria College.
Hi.
So how are your studies going in your, what year?
I mean, academically, I'm in my fifth year, but I've been here for 6 years.
So how's that going?
Like, you feel it. You feel the sixth year-ness. I felt it last year, actually, too. In fifth year, I felt like, okay, it's time to move on. But I felt it even more in my sixth year. But now, at this point, it's faded. Now I know some faces on campus. And I kind of feel like I have my place here.
What is the sixth year feeling?
You see so many faces, new faces coming in every year, right? And so by the time you're in your fifth and sixth year, for most people, they like don't know most people on campus, right? It's just a feeling that you should have moved on or you should be moving forward. But of course, like we know that a lot of people graduate and they get stuck being out of school too. So you can still be moving forward while still in undergrad. So that's what I try to remind myself. And I think it's also really important to keep meeting people that are on campus so you don't feel lonely, which a lot of upper years feel. So I'm pretty much an open book, but I will say like the one thing that I haven't really disclosed all too much with the people around me is how much like I struggled with school for a period of time. Basically, my first 2 years at U of T, I was in the life sciences program. So then after the first 2 years, I realized that I didn't want to be in sciences anymore. So my third year, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this all over again. So I took a bunch of different courses. So I had a history, I had a sociology, I had a psychology, a bunch of different things. And I loved it. I was like, yeah, eating everything up, loving it. I was like intellectual curiosity to the max. But my grades totally didn't reflect that. So my grades just like plummeted in my third year. And then in the summer, like after third year, I did summer school I was thinking, like, okay, I should kind of start getting caught up now that, like, my first 2 years didn't count at all. So the summer I came out with, like, 250-somethings. So it was, like, total disaster. With all that said, I learned a lot in that first year, in that summer. I loved the classes. Like, again, like, I loved my readings. It was super exciting for me. The problem was I did not have the skills for humanities and social sciences. In high school, I was really good at math and science, which is why I ended up going into life. So I was like, okay, well, that's a natural transition, even though I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I hadn't, like, the last time I had taken a history course was in, like, grade 10 Canadian history, like, dropped that. Never would have imagined that I'd be a history major now. English was always my worst subject. Always had to, like, have, like, extra kind of tutor hours with my teacher. So I didn't have the necessary writing skills for, you know, what I was transitioning into. I slowly was getting a little bit better, but in my after my fourth year, between fourth year and fifth, I was like, you know what, like, I need to start seeing school in a different way. Like, I need to understand that what I'm really going to come out of school with is a bunch of skills, less so, like, a ton of knowledge. Like, I'm going to forget a lot of what I've learned, and it's the skills that I've been missing. So I went and got, like, University for Dummies and, like, How to Do University Well and, like, all these, like, dumb-sounding books that I knew, like, my friends would laugh at if they saw. They just, like, really affirmed what I needed to be thinking about in approaching my school. I picked up, like, a book on how to, like, write history papers, how to write humanities papers, and started to understand that, like, you know, every paper was kind of part of a larger discourse, and it wasn't just this isolated thing, and yeah, and just all this reading that I started doing, which was, you know, less about the content of history or, like, the theories of sociology, but about how to do well to get the grades that are necessary in, if you want to do well in school, that totally changed my experience. So going into fifth year, I actually knew, like, what I was doing. I always felt like I was just kind of, you know, shooting in the dark, like, didn't really understand, like, what certain assignments, like, really wanted me to do. I was like, okay, well, I mean, I'll just write this paper, hope for the best. And meanwhile, too, like, the reason I was doing so poorly wasn't just because I didn't have the skills. I also, like, because I didn't know what I was doing, everything was getting handed in so late. And then once I'd missed a deadline, I just, like, wouldn't tell anybody. I would stay in my room for, like days at end, so stressed out because I knew I was doing something wrong. I would skip so many classes because I'd be like, okay, I have this assignment. It's not handed in, so I shouldn't go to class. I should just get it done. But I would just, like, read so many pages of, like, you know, all these different books I had taken out from the library, and I just, like, didn't know how to put them together, like, into a thesis, like, into an essay. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. So there were so many courses that I just didn't hand in assignments, like, at all. And when I told, like, some of my close friends when all this was happening, they were so confused. To me, every essay seemed like the biggest thing. I felt like I was answering, like, really deep questions about, like, these different fields of history. Like, I felt like these essays were so meaningful and, like, I don't know, so, you know, beyond me. So I felt like I had to, like, master the field, like, before I could write anything. And all these things, like, yeah, they just prevented me from handing things in, prevented me from getting things in on time, and I was, like, the worst student for a period of time until I realized, like, I needed to focus on skills as opposed to just learning. And I still think this is, like, such an amazing place for learning, but you also need to be able to do the assignments and, like, write good exams and stuff like that. So that realization, to focus on skills and to, like, spend time on it, like, before the year started to totally change my school experience. I mean, part of it was the things now that I was studying were the things that I thought were, like, really, really, really interesting. And The one thing like I was aware of was I wasn't presumptuous, right? Like in approaching anything, I didn't think like, okay, now that I know this one thing, I know like everything about it. I knew there were like complexities about everything. But I'm a really passionate person, and I really see university as like a gateway for me to understand the world and understand how I can make the world better, you know? So I really felt like every essay I was approaching, I had to come out of it really understanding what it was, like taking a lot away from it. But I also felt like I had to do a lot of justice to it. Like, I cannot bullshit. Like, I just can't do that. And because I don't know how to bullshit. Like, I always felt like I just never knew enough. And I had, like, a lot of respect for all the topics that I was approaching. And these were also, like, a lot of these, like, papers were histories of, like, different parts of the world and parts of the world that had been, like, victims of colonization. So I think maybe part of it also came from that, like, understanding that a little bit, so wanting to do it justice. And, like, I always have a fear of sounding dumb and, like, being dumb. Like, that is, like, a legitimate... yeah, problem that I have, like, sometimes prevents me from asking those questions that I need to ask. So I think that was a big part, too. Like, knowing it wasn't a robot reading my paper. Like, a human person was going to read my paper, and they were going to have a judgment about it. All these papers, what would happen is, like, either they'd be so late I couldn't hand them in, or I would have, you know, weeks go by, and then I'd have one day that I, like, cry my eyes out, and I'm like, okay, now I need to do this. And then I would... I mean, I had done a lot of reading, but I hadn't done any organizing, so I would just put together a really shitty essay and hand that in. So it's not even like my boyfriend laughs at me when I call myself like a partial perfectionist, because he's like, I mean, you want to be a perfectionist, but you definitely don't do perfect things. I'm like, thanks, love. The transition of like having all these different kinds of readings and not being able to get them done, and then feeling really scared because I just hadn't been in these fields, so I didn't have the backgrounds of, you know, other types of histories that other history students had, like especially European. I feel like most people that are history majors come in with like some European history background, and I definitely didn't. So they would make connections to some text with like something else that they knew, and I was coming into all of this with like not much knowledge. So that barrier, being fearful of looking like an idiot or sounding like an idiot, really definitely got in the way. Like if I get a bad mark on something, I assume it's because I've messed up. Part of that is like an issue that I have in like not trusting myself in certain aspects of my life. So I still think I have a lot of growth to do in like academia or like as a student, but like if I got an essay back this semester, having had like a really solid year last year with school, and if that mark was like pretty bad, I probably would be upset and confused. Things aren't just the way that they are, right? They have changed, they will change, and they can be changed. And mostly everything that you experience, especially in an urban environment, was human-made, so it's subject to change.
My mother was a piano teacher when she was in university. Inevitably, there came a time in my childhood when she sat me down on a creaky wooden piano bench and taught me the basics. I learned how to hold my wrists aloft, how to gently curl my fingers, how to strike the keys with the pads of each digit. Those techniques I learned easily. However, the rest of the art form was not so easy to pick up. The first of my problems was my lack of experience with the bass clef. I stared at the ear-shaped swirl at the beginning of each staff as if preparing for a fight. Over and over I muttered, "All cows eat grass, all cows eat grass," in attempt to find each note. Every piece I sight-read, I shot through with wrong notes, played staccato because they startled me so much. To remedy this problem, I would painstakingly read through the bass line of each score and commit it to memory. My ears had always been better than my eyes. After the memorization, I would simply read the top line as my left hand played its own tune automatically. The other affliction I had was not so easily covered up. My fingers had an unevenness that could not be hammered out. My mother told me that this tendency was natural, but I felt that there was something uniquely strange in laying my hands out flat. I mainly played the violin and French horn in school. With each instrument, the left fingers are favored, and both hands curl towards the body at different angles. Resting my hands against the keyboard felt like laying out their secrets for all to see, their uncoordinated dance being performed in the open. I tried to train them in the little time that I had. Continuous scales looped and pooled in my brain like spaghetti as my headstrong hands resisted change. I would try to compensate and work my ring fingers harder than the others. This tactic, however, caused me to tense up. I would hit each note with such determination that my brother passing by would remind me to be kinder to our old piano. Even with the violin, I had a rougher touch. My violin teacher, Olga, would often joke, "Your brother is so sharp in person, but when he plays, he has such a soft touch. Jasmine, you are so happy, but you play so hard." My tendency to be forceful was only magnified by the loose keys of our piano and my frustration at my own playing. After practicing for a while, I could soften the touch and the unevenness a little, but they always lingered in the end, like the scent of smoke from a blown-out candle. As an amateur pianist with little ambition and even littler time to practice, I have not expected much from my adventures with the piano. But whenever I am alone in the house, I slide onto the creaky wooden piano bench and begin to play. It lights a flickering joy in me. I relish the strong push of my hands against the keys and the resounding response from deep within the instrument. I've long resigned the idea of being a person who can, upon coming across a piano at a party, casually perform a piece. I find myself too embarrassed to draw attention to myself and my uneven fingers and the comedic forcefulness of my playing. However, I continue to play my measly rotation of memorized pieces. For even if my renditions aren't as good as all the others, there's an exhilaration in simply playing the music, just as the composers meant for there to be.
The Strandcast was written and produced by Carol Eugene Park and Sammy Wong, and edited by Justin Plummer.
A special thanks to Wilfred, Maddie, and Layla for joining in on the conversation. You also heard The Piano Players Club for Lopsided Individuals by Jasmine.
The Strandcast was made possible by collaborating with Vic Records.